All right. Well, I sure loved those water baptisms. Did anybody notice Rebecca's T-shirt that she was wearing? It said, "I don't do karate, but I do know crazy." I was just focused on that. Anyway, I thought that was really cool. Okay. So the main scripture we're going to be looking at today is Ephesians chapter 2. If you're visiting with us today and you forgot your Bible, don't worry. We've got the scriptures. We're going to have them for you on the screen. But if you are visiting with us today and you don't own a Bible, okay, then we would love to give you a Bible today. Okay, so where are my ushers? Where are my ushers? Ushers, if you could grab some Bibles in the office there, and they're going to come around with Bibles. And so if you do not own a Bible, we'd like to give you a Bible today. That is a gift from us. So as they come around with Bibles in their hands, just raise your hand, and they're going to give you a Bible. Well, we just had our Easter program on Wednesday, and the kids just did such an amazing job, and kind of made me think of this story about little Brian. Little Brian, he's 5 years old. He had a really big role in his Easter program. He had to say a very, very, very important verse. And the verse is what the angel says when he says, "He is not here, he is risen." And so Brian was very nervous about this, but very excited that he got this big opportunity. And so the day of the Easter program comes, and it's time for his line, and he goes blank. He cannot remember his line at all. And so the director of the program is getting his attention, and she's trying to mouth the words, "He's not here. He is risen." And so Brian finally makes eye contact with her, and he gets the line, and he gets a big smile on his face. He grabs the mic off the stand, and he confidently says, "He is not here. He is in prison." But you know, that verse absolutely sums up the hope of Easter, that Jesus is alive. You know, I was reading something this week about Buddha's bones. And apparently, some of Buddha's finger bones, I don't know if you guys have heard this before, some of his finger bones were given as a gift to the emperor of China. And that was, you know, back in, I don't know, 600 to 900 AD or something like that. And it was kind of forgotten about. Then in 1981, they discovered these bones again, these bones that are of Buddha's fingers. And all the Buddhists in the world were so excited when they heard this news. And they travel from all over the world to go and see these bones of Buddha. You know, for the believer in Jesus, our excitement and our hope and our faith and our joy is in the exact opposite of that. Because we know that we know that we know that we know that no person on the face of this planet will ever be able to show us the bones of Jesus Christ, because he's alive, amen? Hallelujah. He is not here. He is risen. So today I just want to talk about the resurrection power of God. And how that resurrection power of God absolutely is our hope of Easter, but it's also the miracle of Easter that each one of us in this room can experience even today. Does that sound okay? If you say yes, yes, Pastor. That will be lovely, thank you. All right, let's pray. God, I thank you so much for today. I thank you, God, for your presence here. I thank you for what you've done. I thank you, God, for your love. I thank you for your word. And so, God, I just pray we're going to be in a place right now that we can receive your word. I pray you're just going to make our hearts ready and our hearts receptive to whatever you have to tell us today, that the Holy Spirit has a word for each one of us today, no matter where we're at in our relationship with you, in our journey with you. You might not even know God today, but the Holy Spirit has a word for each one of us today. So God, I just pray that we're going to hear that word and that we're going to respond to that word in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to start by talking about some of the examples of the resurrection power in the Bible. In 2 Kings, there's a story about a young boy, and he's helping his father with the harvest, and all of a sudden, he starts complaining of having a terrible headache. And so the father sends him home and to his mother, and actually this young boy dies in his mother's arms. And so she right away, she goes to try and find Elisha. How many of you know who Elisha is? He's kind of the man of power for the hour. He's the man of God at the time, and he operates all the time in God's power. And so Elisha comes, and the Bible says that he lays his body over the boy's cold body. So we're not sure how much time has gone by. It could be days, it could be hours, we don't know, but he lays his body over this boy's cold body, and what happens is the power of God working, and Elisha starts to heat up this boy's body. The Bible says all of a sudden, the boy sneezes 7 times, and he opens his eyes, raised by the resurrection power of God. And you know, that anointing, that power is so strong in Elisha that there's another story about Elisha even after he is dead and buried, where there is some men, some Israelites, that are burying someone in a grave near Elisha's tomb. And all of a sudden, they see some raiders from a warring nation coming. And so they get scared. They stop burying this guy, and they immediately throw him into Elisha's tomb, and they run away. Well, that body that was tossed into Elisha's tomb, it touches the bones of Elisha. And because the power of God is still resting on the bones of Elisha, the Bible says that that body was instantly revived, and he jumped up to his feet. How many of you need some bones of Elisha in your house when you ask your kids to do something? You want to just throw the bone under there, you jump on their feet. Or your husband's watching the game, it's just, I need you to, here's the bones of Elisha, just get up. Or guys, if your wife, I'm not even going to go there, I'm going to keep, we're in church, we got to talk about good things. And then there's another story in Luke chapter 7. I need to stick to my notes. Why do I do that? Amen. That was not an appropriate time to say amen. Then there's another story in Luke chapter 7, and there's a funeral procession that's passing Jesus, and he sees the widow, this woman. She's a widow, but she also just lost her only son. The Bible says that Jesus had so much compassion for this widow. The Bible says his heart overflowed with compassion that Jesus stopped the funeral procession. Could you imagine this today? Jesus stopped the funeral procession. He goes over to the coffin and he touches the coffin. And he says, "Young man, get up." And the man sat up and started talking. That's the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Then there's another time where Jesus goes to visit his friend Lazarus. And he stands in front of Lazarus's tomb. And he says, "Lazarus." He shouts it, "Lazarus, come out." Lazarus starts walking out of the tomb with his burial clothes, with his grave clothes wrapped around his feet and his hands and his face. He looked like a mummy coming out of this tomb. You got to understand now, there were other people in that tomb. There were other bodies in that tomb. It was very important that Jesus said the name Lazarus. I'm telling you. Because the power that Jesus operated in, he had such resurrection power in his life, in his ministry, that if Jesus stood at the entrance of that tomb and he just said, come out, it would have been night of the living dead. There would have been all these mummies coming out of the tomb. Because that's the resurrection power of God. But he had to specify it and say, Lazarus. So only Lazarus came out of the tomb. But the greatest of all, the resurrections in the Bible, of course, is Jesus. For Jesus, it started out on a Friday. Jesus was scourged. He was beaten so badly that the Bible says he was disfigured beyond recognition. Jesus' hands and feet were nailed to a cross, and eventually Jesus died on the cross. And the reason why we know that he died is because the Roman soldier stabbed Jesus in the side. The reason he did that, because he was checking if he was dead or alive. Because if the Roman soldier brought Jesus off the cross before he was dead, then that Roman soldier would have had to replace Jesus on the cross. So he was going to make sure that Jesus was dead. So when he stabbed Jesus in the side, how many of you know this? What came out? Blood and water came out. Right? So he knew that blood and water had filled Jesus' lungs. He knew that Jesus was dead. And the reason why I want to make sure we understand that is because some people might say, well, maybe Jesus didn't die on the cross. I assure you, Jesus was dead on that cross. Then they put his body in a tomb, and they put this massive stone in front of the tomb, and this stone was so heavy that for sure one person could not move it. Biblical scholars could say anywhere from 10 to 30 men to move this stone. And Jesus' tomb was guarded by 3 Roman soldiers. They wanted to make sure Jesus stayed dead. So for Jesus, it started out on Friday. How many of you know it didn't end on Friday? Sunday was coming. Sunday was a different day. On Sunday, resurrection power filled the tomb and blasted out of that grave. On Resurrection Sunday, the Bible says the earth violently shook. Do you know there's other recorded historical writings that confirm that the day Jesus rose again, the earth violently shook. The massive stone was rolled away like a pebble, because an angel came down. His appearance was like lightning. And he removed that stone. And those poor Roman soldiers, as if they could ever stop Jesus and the power of God from coming out of that tomb, the Bible says they fell like dead men. They were paralyzed with fear. And then the angel came. And he said, why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. He has risen! Hallelujah! I think that's how we said it. Jesus is alive. There's no tomb that could hold Jesus. Amen? But here's what we need to understand. Everything changed on Sunday. Where there was pain and there was death on Friday, now all of a sudden there's healing and there's new life on Sunday. Where there's defeat on Friday, now there's victory. Where there was bondage on Friday, now there's freedom on Sunday. Where there was confusion and stress and anxiety with the people that love Jesus, now there's peace and there's clarity in what Jesus said. Where there was sorrow and mourning and grief and tears on Friday, now there's rejoicing and there's singing and there's laughing and there's dancing on Sunday morning. On Friday, there was depression and despair. But on Sunday, there's hope for the hopeless. Hallelujah. This is what the resurrection power of God does. It changes the circumstances. It heals. It restores. It brings wholeness. Nothing missing and nothing broken. I'm telling you, it might be Friday for you today. But in Jesus, Sunday is possible. In Jesus, Sunday is on the way. In Jesus, new life, victory, joy, freedom, peace, healing, hope is possible. It might be Friday for you, but I'm telling you, in Jesus Christ, Sunday is possible for you today. What in your life is dead or dying? What in your life is dead or dying? What needs new life? Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's a marriage. You know, I've seen examples of marriages that were completely broken. I've seen examples of marriages that were over. But then that resurrection power of God comes and restores and heals and changes hearts and raises it to new life again. How many of you know that's possible with the power of God? Maybe it's your body. Maybe it's your physical body that needs some new life. Just like we looked at all those examples, right? God is an expert at giving new life to dead bodies. You know, I know so many stories of healing. I've seen so many. I know of so many. But I got to tell you, my favorite probably is my own. And some of you have heard this story before, but when I was a young guy, maybe six, seven years old, I started to get warts on my hands. Does anybody relate to that? No, just me? Okay. Thanks. And I started to get warts on my hands, so my mom and dad would buy the Compound W, and they'd start putting that guck on my warts every night, and that just didn't seem to work. So eventually what happened, we started to go to the doctor, and he would get this big metal canister, and he'd open up, and smoke would start coming out of it, and he'd take this thing, and he would actually freeze them, I think, or burn them or freeze them. I don't know what he was doing, but it hurt a lot, and he would freeze them, and so that also didn't work, and another doctor tried to cut them off, and that didn't work. So as I was getting older, my warts were actually getting worse, and I'd reach new milestones with my warts on my hands and some on my feet. And so I remember at one point I was at 30 warts, and then I was at 40, and by the time I was 11 years old, I had over 70 warts on my hands and my feet. But it was okay because kids were so kind and generous. Yeah, I know. It was good, though, for not you know, holding hands with girls or anything. And so now I was at 70 warts, and we just kind of stopped trying to do anything about them because nothing was working. And I remember in one night, I was in bed, and I just started to pray, and I just started to cry because I was so frustrated with these things, and I just started to cry out to God that he would heal me. The next morning, I woke up, and all of the warts on my hands and my feet had shrunk in half. Over 70 warts. The next morning after that, I woke up again, and they were all gone. Completely healed. No warts. God touched me with his resurrecting power. He restored my body physically. And he also did a work on my heart in that time too. How many of you know that God can heal? How many of you know that God can raise up things that are dead? This is the resurrection power of God. So what in you is dead or dying? What needs new life? Is it your faith? Is it your hope? Is it your purpose? Whatever is dead or dying, I'm telling you, God has the ability. He has the power to bring dead things back to life. Whatever it is, invite Jesus, invite the resurrection power, invite new life, invite joy, invite hope. Resurrection Sunday is possible for you right now. Amen? You know, I just have one more thing I want to talk about here, but I just feel like we need to pause right now, and I'm just going to pray for you. Can I just pray for you? And let's just pray for that. Whatever your circumstance, whatever you need, new life, let's pray right now that God's going to meet that need. Glory to God. God, I just pray. I just pray for a touch of the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. God, we pray for a touch of your anointing in this room. A touch of your anointing, your power, your resurrection power, God. We pray for a touch of that. We pray, God, for you to flood that in our life, in our circumstance, whatever the need is, God, whatever the problem is, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's in a body, whether it's in heart, whatever it is, God, we just declare the resurrection power of God right now in Jesus' name. Spirit of God, come and touch us right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, God raising up any part of our life in his power and giving us hope and giving us new life and giving us victory, that is awesome and miraculous. Is that true? But the greatest miracle, hear me, this is greater than anything else. The greatest miracle and our greatest hope of Easter is how God can raise us from being dead in sin to alive in Christ. That's the greatest miracle. That is the greatest hope of Easter. Okay? Because yes, God healed me physically, but I'm talking about God healing us spiritually. Okay? So this is where I want to look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else." So what this scripture is saying here is that we're born into sin, okay? That we're born with that sinful nature and we live by that sinful nature. There's a power of sin that's working in our life. So that means all of us then, we've all sinned, we've all fallen short. And the reason why we're dead in that sin is because we serve a holy God. And so our sin, it separates us from God. The problem with being separated from God is that God is life. He's the author and the giver of life. So we can't be alive spiritually without God. So we're dead in sin because we're separated from life himself. We have no hope without God. Let's pray. Just kidding, that's not the end. Verse 4. But God. Everybody say, but God. Those are two of the greatest words in the Bible. But God is so rich in mercy that he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. See, God's solution to the sin problem was Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have eternal life. You know what? I don't want you to miss out on that word so, that third word in verse 16 there. Right? Don't miss out on that. God so loved you that he sent Jesus to die for you. Jesus was the necessary sacrifice for our sin. So our new life has to begin with Jesus. Verse 6, keep going with Ephesians chapter 2. So verse 6 says, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. So none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew. He created us again in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. See, now all we got to do is believe in Jesus. See, it says, God saved you by his grace when you did all those really good things in your life. Is that what it says? No, but God saved you by his grace as long as you went to church every week. No, God saved you by his grace because you volunteer and you help people across the street. Is that right? No, God saved you by his grace when what? When you believed. That's it. That's it. It's not about all the things that you have. It's not about you. It's not about trying to be a good person. Right? It doesn't matter if you think you're a good person or not. It's not about that. It's about when you believe in Jesus. All we have to do is believe in Jesus. So let me help you understand what that means, okay? So to believe in Jesus, that means we are believing that Jesus is the Son of God. And we believe that Jesus did raise again from the grave. Right? How many of you here believe that? Just raise your hand. Lots of you here already believe that. Right? You need to invite Jesus to become your Lord and Savior. How many of you have already done that? You need to ask God to forgive you for your sin. And when you ask, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all your unrighteousness. So the Bible says. And then, and this is important, we choose to live for Jesus. We choose to live for Jesus. That's what it means to believe in Jesus. And once we do that, we're no longer dead in sin. Look at Romans chapter 8. It says, for the power of the life-giving Spirit, capital S, has freed you through Christ Jesus from the power of sin that leads to death. God destroyed sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. So watch this. In Jesus, we can now count ourselves dead to sin and alive in Christ. See, before Jesus, we're dead in sin. After Jesus, we're dead to sin. Hallelujah. This is the true miracle. This is the true hope of Easter, that God has the power in Jesus to raise us from death in sin to life in Christ. This is what qualifies us for heaven. This is it. It's Jesus. It's our faith in Jesus. Right? Jesus says himself in John chapter 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then Jesus asks, do you believe this? You know, I just want to give everyone here an opportunity to believe in Jesus. I don't think it would be right for us to leave here today to tell you about this incredible gift we have from God, but not let you have an opportunity to receive it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an opportunity to invite Jesus into your life, but I want to be really clear here. I want to be really clear. When you do this, you're not inviting religion into your life. That's not what you're doing. You're not inviting religion. You're not inviting law and rules. That's not what you're doing. You are inviting Jesus, a relationship with Jesus, into your life and into your heart. That's what you'll be doing today if you decide to make this commitment to the Lord. So what we're going to do is in a minute, I'm just going to ask everyone to bow their head and close their eyes. And the reason why we do that is just because we want this to be a personal thing. It's a personal thing just between you and the Lord. Okay? And then after I give an invitation, if you want to raise your hand, then we're just going to have a little prayer. And we're going to pray together, inviting Jesus into our life. So I'm just going to invite everyone just to bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. And I'm just going to ask that no one look around at this time. Let's just have a real private, personal time right now. Just you and the Lord. And let's just take 10 seconds here. And just, let's just inspect our hearts. Let's allow the Holy Spirit, let's allow God to just inspect our hearts for a moment. You know, just in that few seconds, in that quiet moment of inspection, you might have heard a voice. You might have felt a pull or a tug on your heart. You might have felt a woo of God, because God loves you so much. He woos us to Him. And in that quiet moment, you might have felt that God reaching out to you. So if you're here today and you have never invited Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, but you want to know Him, you want to enter into a relationship with Him and with God through His Son, then I want to invite you just to raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Amen. Amen. I see those hands. You can put those hands down. Yes, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you raise your hand, I'm just going to invite you just to pray this prayer with me. Just pray it to yourself. It doesn't have to be out loud. God knows your heart. So just pray this prayer with me. God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus for me. I believe in Jesus. I believe that He is your Son. And I believe that you did raise Him again to life. God, I just ask that you please forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for all those things that I've done against you, God, all the things I've said and I've thought and I've done. And I just receive your forgiveness today by faith. Now, God, I want to enter into a relationship with you through your son, Jesus. Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. I invite you to be my Savior, but also to be my Lord, to be Lord of my life. God, help me, empower me to grow in my relationship with you, to grow in your love. Help me, empower me, God, to live the rest of my days for you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, there's three people that raised their hand, but there might have been more that maybe prayed that prayer. But either way, I think we need to give God some praise and some thanks for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we're all done here, but our prayer team is going to be standing by at the end of service. And if you'd like to come and ask them questions, if you'd like to come and just have prayer, maybe for whatever, they're going to be here ready to pray for you. Also, if you raised your hand to accept Jesus today, I'd also like to give you a Bible before you leave. And I just want to write your name and the date in there. And so that you always know this was the day that you invited Christ into your heart and into your life. Amen. April 1, hallelujah, 2018. That's your day. Glory to God. Amen. You don't have to rush away. Go ahead, grab some more muffins and some fruit. And I just want to say one more time, God bless everyone. Happy Easter. And we're dismissed.
Was crowned with thorns is crowned.